You are listening to an online message from Limbrookwood Baptist Church. For more messages, upcoming events and weekly activities, please visit www.lwbc.org.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter by searching Limbrookwood BC. Thank you for tuning in.
We're in the new series, and it's funny because I called it new series. When I looked at it, it's kind of like we probably should have started it this week, because actually we're actually technically on week three, but I think we started about 6 weeks ago. So with various bits of Easter and everything else in between, I don't blame you if you're just catching up with where we were. So I'll do a little bit of a roundup. But if you can remember week one, we were talking about removing the shadow of sin, and I did a brief introduction as to what that looks like, and I'll unpick that in a little bit more. But the second week, we had Sam Ward that came in. I don't know if you remember Sam. He was from the Message Trust. He heads up the Eden Project on behalf of the Message Trust. And basically, he was sharing his story about that obedience of actually following God, but also sustaining that journey that he was continually doing. So, you know, if you remember back to some of his stories, and if not, I will get those online this week, and I encourage you to go back and listen to these guest speakers, because there's some fabulous things in there that just remind you, and it might speak to where you're at on your journey. You know, sometimes it gets hard and all your stuff gets nicked and you find out it's your neighbor. You know, what do you do in that situation? How do you love? And I think what Sam really challenged us with, a genuine question, is will you still walk with that neighbor even if they've nicked all your stuff? And actually, would you make yourself vulnerable to that neighbor in as much as you can turn around to that neighbor and say, well, actually, I need you. And I don't know if you remember Sam's story about wanting to do his garden, that whatever it was, a strip, a window box out the front of his house. But actually, he made himself vulnerable in a place where he says, well, actually, I need you as much as you need me. And we both need Christ. And that was a really challenging story that he gave. So are we prepared to walk with folk? And I'm asking the question here, you know, are we willing to be light in those shadows? And part of this series, it is to encourage us that as a result of spending time in the shadows with other people, it can get burdensome, it can tire us out. And how do we, when we walk with folk, make sure that we step out into the light as well? And you might have experienced that. You might have cared for somebody, looked after somebody. It might be that you've been praying with somebody. You met somebody that's going through something really tough. And actually, you are just exhausted. And you go, well, how do I just step out into the sunshine? I don't know if you went out yesterday and you just went, oh, isn't it wonderful just to be in the sun for a moment? And sometimes I think our spiritual walk is a bit like that. How do I just step out and just bathe in the sun for a moment? So this week, we're going to look at who removes the shadows, because I think it is absolutely foundational. And in the upcoming weeks as well, we've got a couple more guest speakers in. There's a fabulous guy that's doing some great work over in Birmingham direction, and he can't help but get people saved, it seems, in every service. He's got a baptism every month that's going on at the moment. He's an ex-drug dealer, and he's leading folk to faith and baptizing folk who he was originally dealing drugs with. And this community is being transformed. So we've got some great people talking about how do we get in there and get into those bits where it really is the difficult struggle sometimes, but equally life comes and light comes. So I asked the question last time, and you'll be forgiven for not remembering, but I said, what do you think of when you hear shadows? If I say the word shadows, it might even be a band. I forgot about the band. I could see where Dawn was going there. Down, 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 down. No, not those kind of... I missed that one out. Sorry. In the Bible, when you hear shadows, what do you think? Now, there were things, as we looked it up last time, there were shadows from the sun, isn't it? The sun creates shadows. Shadows could be a place of safety where we take refuge in the shadow of God's wings. It can be figuratively or symbolic about a foreshadowing. There's something that's coming. And in this series, we need to establish what does removing the shadow of sin look like for us. Obviously, it makes sense that it goes on from our next series, or from our last series, which was the Living Well series. But also sitting in with what this year is about, particularly with our motto verse, but actually coming back to that word bios. If you remember, I did the 2018 thing. If you look 2018, if you flip it right over, it reads 8102, which looks like bios. What do we do with the bios? What is our bios? How do we use the gift of physical life, life that animates all creation, to live and move and have its being, it says in Acts 17. What is our personal story? What is our biography? What is that thing about me? And am I maturing in that? And part of this series to ask those questions. What does that look like when we remove the shadow of sin? How do we grow in that? And just for a time of reflection, because it's where we kind of finished last time, just to kind of bring us back to that place, and hopefully the penny might start dropping for some that were here now. We ask God, you know, what are those areas of my life where I know there are shadows? There are probably walls in our lives. There are those areas which are walled off. We put the keep out sign up and we don't want anybody going anywhere near it. Don't be ashamed of running into the shadows. As we said last time, when Adam and Eve sinned, what was the first thing they did? They went and hid in the garden. They went to hide from God. They hid in the shadows. We're hardwired to do that. So don't feel bad about that. But actually, if you are in the shadows, we've now got a Savior that says, I want to do something for you. And the place that we got to last time, that place of reflection is, if God's speaking to you now, and I believe he's quick to speak, because probably for all of us, instantly something jumps in our heart where he goes, actually, I know that still needs dealing with. I know there's still maybe a wound there, or there's something there that catches me every time. I get this far, and then life stops for me. So I ask the question, what are your shadows? Now, I can't tell you that, but let's just pause for a moment and just ask God, God, what is that thing? There's generally that thing, and it comes around and you wrestle with it again. Just pause for a moment. What is that thing? Our motto verse says for a moment, I'll give you a few more minutes just to think. But our motto verse says, do you not perceive it? It means God might be speaking, but we might not be listening. So let's just take another moment. Lord, what is that thing? Where are my shadows? Where do I run to? Where does that light need to come this morning? See, Holy Spirit's wonderful because he does speak to us instantly. And if not now, you can go away afterwards and say, Lord, I'm not sure I heard anything. Tell me now. And in your quiet times, what are those areas? Because we've all got them. They don't have to be big. They don't have to be disastrous, but they are there. And God wants to release us from those things. The who is the thing that we're asking this week. Who can we trust? If you came to any of our midweek sessions over the last few weeks, you will know that we were looking at the Word of God and what does the Word of God say? Who is it? What is he? What is he about? And the topic, basically, we're going to pick up this morning is, who is God? Now, I don't know where you're all at this morning. I probably know where a majority of people are at, but we'll take it as read. If you can go bear with me this morning, we'll take it as read that you believe the Bible, okay? We believe what it says in its entirety, or for the sake of argument this morning, you're prepared to go along with it at least. So who is the God of the Bible and what is he like? It's quite interesting, actually, because we're going to be doing a new series coming up, which is going to be Discipleship Explored, which is the third one in the Life Explored, Christianity Explored, and Discipleship Explored series. But Life Explored, which is supposed to be the introduction to God, I think a lot of Christians have missed out on what that actually means and what God is actually like. And actually it goes through, I think, about 7 or 8 characteristics of God. And we think about Jesus in lots of ways, but who is God and what is he like? If you had to describe God to people, would you just describe Jesus? Part of the reading we have this morning, it says in 1 John, sorry, from previous week's reading was in 1 John 5-7, and it said this: "This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin." We've said a number of times before that the light of God invites us to step into situations where he doesn't just deal with, say, brokenness or deal with those things that were weighing us down, but actually does one thing more than that. He turns it into something which is wonderful. He releases us from the pain. He gives us authority over those situations. And with that authority comes healing and restoration and revival. And this is the thing where the enemy wants to slot us down and say, hang on a minute, I'm shutting you down. That thing, you don't want anybody at church to know about that thing. They think you're far too good to have that wrong with you. And he shuts us down. And yet when we bring that into the light and we deal with that and we find actually, as we said earlier with that reading, we bear with one another, we encourage one another and say, brother, do you know what? I went through the same thing, but look what God has done to me now. Look where I am. Let me pray for you. That's the church that we go. And then God takes that, and that thing that was once darkness now becomes a thing of light. It becomes an instrument of light. And we can say, this thing that you, the enemy, used to try and put me down with, this thing, look, I can hold it up, not to glorify it, but to glorify the God that dealt with it. And look at me, I'm whole again. That's the God that we come to worship. What are we like? What does God see us like? Let's remind ourselves, because the enemy likes to put us down. 1 Peter 2:9, I love these verses. 1 Peter 2 and verse 9. It's a good one to mark if you're feeling a bit down. It says, but you are a chosen people. You probably remember it now, don't you? A royal priesthood, a holy nation. You are God's special possession. Go on, just say that to yourself. I'm God's special possession. Do you believe it? Say it again. I am God's special possession. Wow, you say it like you mean it. At least that's... Yeah, I'm God's special possession. This is what he's saying about that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into that wonderful light. You see, you don't feel like you're God's special possession. You won't feel like you're shining like stars and being everything that he calls you to be if the enemy is locking you down in that shadows. And this is why I think removing the shadow of sin is so important this morning. Do we accept that God is light? Do we accept what the scriptures say? If we do, then so, if God is light, so is his son. If you want something tangible about that, you can look in John 8:12. We see the examples of Jesus. And what did Jesus say about this light? When Jesus was speaking, it says in John 8:12, he was speaking to the people again. And we've got a song that we sing about this, so you know the words well. This is where it comes from. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Jesus is the light of the world. Whoever follows him will no longer walk in darkness. We can move from this side to this side, from the darkness into the light. But there's an action. You can't say that's nice, head knowledge. It requires an action, doesn't it? I need to follow. I need to follow Christ. We can all have knowledge of Jesus, that's good, but knowledge of the light is not enough. We have to walk in the light too. And I do believe that means we will mature, we will grow, and that takes us back to that Colossians verse. It might appear up on the wall. As I was actually going through this, I thought God might say, actually, this would be a good motto verse for next year. Colossians 1:28, he, that is Jesus, is the one we proclaim. admonishing and teaching everyone, with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. You know, as brothers and sisters, if we're going to be encouraging one another, we're encouraging one another into maturity. We're encouraging one another to follow Christ, that we might be mature, not tossed back and forth by every wave of teaching. And I don't want to be a broken record here, but apart from Sunday, where else do you engage with the Word of God collectively throughout the week? Think about this as individuals. Where do you engage collectively with other people? Is church just Sunday for you? Now, I know not everybody can make a Wednesday evening, but my question really is, if I put on some more daytime sessions again, so we actually put some stuff on during the day, which was going on in the evening, would you come? You might be doing shift work with your new job, which is great that you've got a new job, but actually, are you going to miss out? So how do we encourage one another and feed one another? Are you hungry for the Word of God? Are you longing to see those family members and those friends and those neighbours come to faith? But let's be honest, if we're not full on for God and growing in Him, what is our bios? What is our story? What do those around you say about your faith? Now, I'm being a little bit flippant here, but do they say, oh, that's just somewhere you go on a Sunday, not sure why you go even, because you come back miserable? Me go? Not likely, if that's how you come home. I mean, we're God's examples sometimes, aren't we? If someone's only experience of God, and I'm not picking on anybody here at all this morning, but if someone's only experience of God is us, our life and our attitude, would they want to sign up and follow this Jesus themselves? Of course, my prayer is that you are hungry for God in everything that you can and attend as possible. You're hungry to see folk saved, and that there's a resounding yes. Of course, Darren, if there's something on, I want to come to it. So I don't want it all to be about a Sunday morning. I don't want it to be all to be about a Wednesday evening. We are looking at setting up home groups and life groups because we've got so many new people in church now. We're at the stage where that could actually happen. In a sense, church was, a few years back now, it was a good life group. That was a wonderful group of people that loved one another and they really cared for each other. As we grow, we need to multiply that and make sure we continue with that love and that example that has been here. Are you hungry to follow God? How can others follow Him if we're not really following Him either? Our reading this morning was from 1 Thessalonians 5, and in verses 5 and 6, I just love it because it's talking about light again. 1 Thessalonians 5, and just those verses in verses 5 and 6, again, it's encouraging us. You are children of the light and children of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. So then let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be awake and sober. We're children of the light. This is what Scripture says to us. So if you're feeling a bit low, I want you to go out of here this morning and say, wow, I'm precious to God. I'm a child of light. I don't have to walk in darkness anymore. I can walk in the light. When we go out those doors later on, go out and lift your head high. I'm a child of the King. You know, this is good stuff. We're called to be children of light as the Father himself is light. And to go full circle with this, if we're not walking in the light, this then means we don't really know God. We will wrestle with the Scriptures. We won't fully grasp the truth of the Scriptures. Of course, the Scriptures warn us time and time again, don't they? Repent, turn from your ways that lead to darkness, because there is a mission at hand here in Tile Hill through Limbrick Wood, and God wants every single one of us to be part of that. Remember Paul's words as he stood before King Agrippa. If you want to open up Acts 26, I'm going to kind of read through a few verses here. But in Acts 26, as Paul was retelling his experience on the Damascus Road, we'll pick up what he was saying to King Agrippa in verse 12. So it's Acts 26 and verse 12. And I love this because this is Paul towards the end of his journey now. And here he is before the king. Acts 26, verse 12, and he says, on one of these journeys, I was going to Damascus, this is Paul speaking, and with the authority and commission of the chief priests. About noon, King Agrippa, as I was on the road, I saw a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, blazing around me and my companions. We all fell to the ground, and I heard a voice saying to me in Aramaic, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads." Then I asked, "Who are you, Lord?" "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting," the Lord replied. "Now get up and stand on your feet. I have appeared to you to appoint you as a servant and as a witness of what you have seen and will see of me. I will rescue you from your own people and from the Gentiles. I am sending you to them to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, so that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me." You see, in the Great Commission, the call is the call to you as it was to Paul and it is to me. God is saying, "I'm sending you." Where was it? In verse... lost it. Last half of verse 17. "I am sending you to them." I'm sending you to them to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light. But if we don't know God as light, or if we don't trust in his word and that he is the light, then of course we will run back to the shadows. We will stay on the edges where we think potentially it's safe. We might think it's someone else's job to share the good news. Or maybe at least if you can bring them along to church, and if Darren's on form this morning, they might get a decent message. That's Darren's job, isn't it? It's not my job to tell them the good news. But this series says, no, come on, each and every one of us, let's remove these shadows. This week, our foundation is God. God is light. We've seen it in his son, Jesus, who is also the light of the world. That's what he says. We've seen that light has overcome darkness. Even the grave itself could not contain the light. And as children of light, we are best placed to share the good news. Wherever you go, you can share that good news. Now, again, I'm not having a go at people this morning, but let's make this word challenging. Some of you have grown up children. They've left home now. I'm still working through this process. You might have had 18 years to lead them to Christ and demonstrate his wonderful love. Like I say, it's not a criticism, but certainly a very challenging question we can ask ourselves is, what was our Christ-like walk like? Was our Christ-like example that we gave better than the pizza and the movies and the friends or wherever it was they chose over following Christ? Now, that's not all down to us as parents, because our kids are individuals. But what was our Christ-like experience like? What was church like for them? Was it a place of love and light? Or was the world far more attractive? And the challenge to us as parents, and I take this to me as a parent, and maybe grandparents now as well, but particularly to fathers, I just want to challenge us, do you lead your family daily in prayer? It's a real challenge, because God's going to hold us fellas accountable for this. Do you lead your family daily in prayer? Are you nurturing your children's childlike faith, which is so precious because they just say it how they see it. There's no punches held back with this one. Are you helping them to grow those spiritual muscles that they too will lead others to faith as well? What did it say? I'm sending you to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light. God is sending us to do that. The words of the song we sang a minute ago, he's a good, good father. Now, you might not have a good experience of father, you may or may not, but actually, you know what a good father should be like. And God is a good father. We can put our trust in him. And I believe this is foundational, because if you don't believe you can put your trust in him, it's just another nice story. Then what are you going to build on? This week my computer crashed, or recently it crashed. Now, being a good tech person, I had everything backed up, made sure it wasn't missing, and anything that wasn't there, I managed to take off before I had to reset the computer. Now, I had to install Windows again on my computer. If anyone's gone down that painful route of saying, oh man, I've got to do the whole thing from scratch again. There was nothing wrong with the Windows installation. The Windows installation was absolutely fine. What the problem was my hard drive was broken. It had some bad sectors on it. I could install Windows 1,000 times on there. Nothing wrong with Windows. The problem was the hard drive. Now, for old school, it's a bit like having a scratch on a record. You know, when it gets to that point, you go, and you hear it every time. You're, oh, that blooming record's scratched. Doesn't matter what you can do. It was fine. The music's good, but the record's now scratched. It's a bit like me, really, the bump on my head I mentioned earlier. I put a new hard drive in my computer. My computer is running absolutely fine now. If I could put a new brain in here, that would be fine too. I'm sure a lot of us would sign up for that, wouldn't we? What are our foundations? You see, the Christian life is a lot like this. If we've got the foundations wrong, if our understanding of who God is wrong, if we don't take his word, the Bible, at the face value, and Jesus at his word, then I think, like my hard drive, the foundations are going to be faulty. And all the other bits and bobs that you might try and work out throughout your life, you will probably find they're always stalling because there's a fundamental issue that the foundation is wrong. To stretch scripture a little bit to apply it to my computer, the old needed to go and the new needed to come. That was the reality for my computer. It is the reality for a lot of us. The old person needs to go and the new needs to come. If you don't take God at his word, you won't see him as the all-powerful creator who, scriptures say, created the world in 6 days and rested on the seventh. You won't have a basis for the fact that there's a fall of man, and therefore you won't have a need for a savior. And you certainly won't be following a savior through, say, the waters of baptism to bury the old self, old gone, new come. You won't follow the scriptures where it says, repent and be baptized, every one of you. It is what a loving God says in my Bible. What does he say in yours? It's a challenge, this, because I want us to be able to go from this place here today saying, I know who God is, and I want to follow him, and I want to be obedient to that. The success of everything we'll look over in these next few weeks will come back to this one foundation. You're going to be able to build so much, and it might be typical of your life. You might have been doing it for years and years. You build so much, then the cracks come, and it just seems to fall away. You always get so far. But if your foundation isn't God and what he has done, then you'll find you'll be at conflict, just like my computer did when it kept saying, there has been an error. The question is, what is God saying to you today? What do you need to confess to him? We had a moment earlier, didn't we? What do we need to confess? Remember, agreeing with God, the things that need sorting out. If you've not put your trust in Jesus as Lord and Savior, as that example, the one that you are following, the question is, and we're going to break bread together in a minute, and I love to invite folk, do you want to do that? And do you want to do that today? The scriptures say all are welcome. And if God is speaking to you today, I want to give you every opportunity to respond. So when we break bread later, the table is open to all who believe. If you do not believe, today can be that day. Lord, I want to follow you. It's as simple as declaring that Jesus Christ is Lord and that God raised him back to life again. It's as simple as that. He died and he rose again for us. If you believe that, then the scriptures say in Romans, doesn't it? You will be saved. And I can't go without asking about baptism this morning. And while I'm on a roll, I'm going to have another one. I've had one person request baptism already, and I'd love to see the baptistry open for them really soon. The scriptures say, don't hang about with this. Get up and get baptized. But if there are others here who are not baptized yet, I want to invite you to come and speak to me after. If you haven't been baptized, you can simply come up to me after and say, Darren, I want to consider baptism. I want to get baptized. And depending on how many people come, if there's 5 or 6 of us, which would be wonderful, then I would say, let's do that together, and we'll create a little class, and we'll go through that together, we'll do some baptism classes, and we'll look and say, well, what does the Bible actually say about this? You can come to that even if you think, I'll be interested to get baptized, but I don't want to get wet yet. Come along to that, and let's open up the scriptures, because if you want to be obedient to it, what do the scriptures say? Are you going to follow Christ? Was Jesus baptized? Are you going to follow him? I'll leave that one there. But if the Spirit's talking to you this morning, is convicting you, What does it say in Acts? Get up and get baptized. Let's get on with what God's doing. Let's stop stalling and let's move forwards with this. He is a good, good father. Again, despite what your earthly fathers might have been like, this is a father that exceeds all of that. So who removes the shadow of sin? God alone removes the shadow of sin. If we follow him and put our trust in his son, Jesus Christ, then we will be saved. I ask you the question, are you doing that? And if you're not, do you want to?
You are listening to an online message from Limbrookwood Baptist Church. For more messages, upcoming events and weekly activities, please visit www.lwbc.org.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter by searching Limbrookwood BC. Thank you for tuning in.